Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you back to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And we're back in Luke chapter 7 again, talking about John the Baptist and his doubts and how Christ responded after the men that John sent left. And yesterday we got into a very interesting topic. We were talking about how important it is that when we are studying what Jesus is teaching, before we go to application, implication, we need to make sure that we ask two questions. The first question is, what did he say? The second question is, why did he say that? And what I'd like to do is I'd like to go more thoroughly into that question of why did Jesus say what he did? And in order to do that, we want to begin by looking at the text again. So if you have your Bible, let's turn and pick up in verse 24. Here's what it says. When the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John. And he said, what went ye out into the wilderness for to see? A reed shaken with the wind? What went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they which are gorgeously apparelled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, behold, I will send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, as we've read those verses, I'm going to focus back on verse number 24. And we're looking at this topic of the root of unbelief in the heart. And you might say, well Pastor Joel, I don't even see anything about this root of unbelief stuff. What are you talking about? Well, that really is answered by the question, why? Why did Jesus say the things that he did? And with that in mind, let's begin by looking at part two of our study. John's doubts were prompting some unstated questions. Now, when Jesus' followers are listening to this conversation, their wheels are turning, you might say. There's something going on inside, and they're thinking about what's going on. And by the way, when we talk about people that were disciples of Christ, that were followers of Jesus, that was a mixed bag in those days. Just like not everyone who attends church is a genuinely saved person. Not everyone who attends church understands the gospel, has placed their faith in Christ, takes seriously their walk with the Lord. Not every Christian is equally strong or matured or wise. It's a mixed bag in any context that you go to. The same is true when it comes to the disciples of Christ, but I would say even much more so, because as people were following Jesus, some of them were genuine believers, they were convinced he was the Messiah, but there were others who, they were simply following him because they were curious. Others were following him because they were beginning to recognize that there was something here that they needed to understand, but they didn't fully understand it. Some were following him as skeptics. They really wanted to destroy Jesus. They wanted to catch him and ask him that gotcha question and be able to undermine him in front of other people. Almost like a troll on the internet. Somebody who's, you know, scrolling through social media so they can just stir up trouble. There were people that followed Christ for that one very reason. And so, in verse 24, when it says, the messengers of John departed, then he began to speak unto the people concerning John. Jesus knew that what his followers had witnessed, what they had heard, he needed to say something about it. He needed to address it. He knew there were questions. In fact, Jesus was a masterful teacher. Jesus wasn't the kind of teacher that would have said, hey, why don't you just read the book, or here, take these notes, and he lectures on some topic. That's not the way that Christ taught. Christ asked questions. Christ told parables that were meant to make people think. Christ would say things that were meant to really make you ponder a concept, so that you would be perplexed and you'd have to come back and you'd have to ask him for clarification. That's the way that Christ taught. Christ was extremely interactive in the way that he taught. And so he was excellent at being able to read his audience. Now, he's God in flesh, okay? So he can understand exactly what people are thinking. He can literally read their minds. But the reality is, in his humanity, I think for the most part, Christ experienced a lot of the same things that you and I experience when it comes to reading a crowd and what are people thinking. He wasn't always, we could say, functioning with his omniscience in the forefront, just like he didn't always function with his omnipotence in the forefront. So the way that Jesus responds here is very, very instructive. I want to begin with this statement. There are some people that the reason that they are following is not because of conviction, but it's because they want to be a part of something going on. Some people are following the crowd. They don't have conviction. And what's going to happen is that when the crowd begins to disperse, they don't continue to walk where they were once walking. It's like a person is attracted to a church, and then all of a sudden, pressure begins to build on the Christian community in a particular place, and it's not popular to be a Christian anymore. It's not popular to hold certain Christian viewpoints. And all of a sudden, when this person is asked some really tough questions, what do? They back down. They're not willing to step out and to stand firm. Why is that? Well, it's because they're not following by conviction. They just want to be a part of something going on. There were examples of this in Christ's day. John chapter 6 gives us this very thing. Jesus makes the following statement. He says, "No man can come to me except it were given unto him by the Father." That's a pretty tough statement. That's a statement that you and I can really wrestle with. When Jesus made that statement, there were some people in the crowd that said, "I don't get that. I don't believe in Jesus. I'm going to walk away." There were some people who said, "I don't get that, but I'm going to ask him for clarification." What was the difference between those two different groups? One group was just a part of a crowd. And when something was stated, or when they saw something happen that caused them to stumble, what did they do? They walked away. Because they didn't have a conviction that Jesus is Messiah, that he's speaking the truth, that I need to understand what he's saying. Another group said, "I don't get it, but I know who Jesus is. I know what he's saying is true. I just don't understand it at the moment. I'm going to wait and watch more. I'm going to listen more. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to ponder." And so as people were leaving, it says that many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And those disciples were not believers. They were people who were just curious. They see miracles. They hear fascinating stories, and they want to see what's going on. Then Jesus said unto the 12, "Will you also go away?" That's an important question. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." What's Peter saying? He's saying, "I don't have it all figured out, but I'm convinced because of the evidence that you're the Messiah. There's no other place to go." See, this is the difference between unbelief and a person who is immature in their faith. One person doesn't have it all figured out. They may question, they may get shaken, but in the end, on the final analysis, they know who Jesus is. And they say, "I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to ask more questions. I want him to help me to understand." That's the difference. And so keep that in the back of your mind as we look at what's going on here. Jesus knows John's question has created a stir. John the Baptist knew Jesus from the time they were children. He had actively pointed people to Christ. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." These people had heard him say that. Some of those people that were following Jesus were following them because John had pointed them to Christ. He had been extremely confrontational in his preaching ministry. He was very dogmatic. He was blunt. He was forceful. He was unashamed. And now this man's asking questions like this. Well, the point is that if a man like John the Baptist could have questions, if somebody is just following Jesus to be part of a crowd, they're going to be offended by this question. They may very well walk away. There were also people that were in that crowd who were enemies. The fact is, they wanted to see Christ cornered and caught and exposed as a fraud. They wanted to ruin him. And so they are literally salivating, just waiting for this opportunity to pounce on this question. See, look at this, Jesus. You say you're the Messiah. You're the Son of God. Here's John the Baptist. He grew up with you. He pointed people to you. And now he's asking the question, are you really the Messiah? What are they doing? They're going to seize on that question. His question was public. It had to be addressed publicly. And the reason is that, you know, there are some people, they follow Christ and they stumble when others walk away. Some people lack the discernment. They lack the ability to carefully weigh a matter and to come to a firm conviction through careful consideration. We would say that they're immature in their faith. They don't have the discernment to process the kinds of things that they're witnessing. The people that despise the message, they want to discredit it. Many people are at this moment, they are vulnerable. And so, Jesus has to address the issue. So, when we get into this passage of Scripture, and we see the way that Jesus addresses the issue, the kinds of things that he says, the kinds of questions that he asks, the kind of implications that he presents, understand it is ultimately because he knows what's in the heart of these people. A question has come. People are thinking in their minds, what's going on here? He's going to address it. We need to get back to the question of why. And so I'm looking forward to, Lord willing, tomorrow in our study, getting deeper into the question of why. And it's going to go to the foundation of what unbelief actually is. What is at the core of it? John's question has stirred up other questions, and so Jesus is addressing it that way. I hope that this has been insightful for you to think about. If you have any questions, please feel free to send me an email, send me a text, give me a call. There's lots of different ways that you can reach out. I hope that this will be an encouragement to you. And I hope it'll also give you insight into the fact that, you know what, when we are teaching and we can tell that people are not following what we're saying, we need to stop and we need to clarify. There are times a good teacher will anticipate the questions that are out there. We have lots of examples like that in the Bible. For instance, in the book of Romans, what does Paul do? He makes statements. He anticipates questions. He addresses those questions. That is what good teachers do who are trying to help people understand truth. And that's exactly what our Lord did when he was addressing this issue. I hope that this has been a good study for you, and Lord willing, we will meet again tomorrow morning as we continue our Anchored in the Word series. Have a blessed day. Bye now.